Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
it. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, is a guy like Josh Gordon getting like 12 targets and other guys like Hogan getting one? Is that the way you guys want things, or is it just how it happens?
Yeah, talked about this ad nauseum, Greg. Nothing's changed. We don't design passes to go to one guy unless it's a screen pass.
Do you think Tom was effective fine?
You'd have to ask Tom. Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
And there you go, Greg Bedard with Bill Belichick post-game in Tennessee. Go ask Tom on that. We've been over this a million times, Greg. We don't design plays to go to one guy unless it's a screen. So, because one guy has 12 targets and one guy has one, that's not a coaching decision. That's a quarterbacking decision. So that was an interesting conversation. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joins us in our Town Fair Tire studios. What are your follow-up thoughts on that loss in Tennessee there, big boy?
Well, I thought the Patriots just played awful. I mean, I don't want to hear any stuff about a blueprint. Mike Vrabel, this and that.
You don't think Vrabel had some answers for you?
Nope.
Really?
The Patriots just played awful. They had chances to make plays, and whether it was Brady feeling pressure that wasn't there, Josh Gordon dropping passes, blocks not being made, all that stuff, I just thought the Patriots just played awful.
Had nothing to do with the blueprint. There was nothing that the defense did.
There was nothing new. And I had to go and double-check my numbers because I got done charting the game, and I'm like, 11 pressures on Brady. That doesn't sound right.
Fell low.
So I
meaning it should be higher.
Yeah.
Meaning it felt like he was pressured more than just 11 times.
So I went and I looked at Pro Football Focus to sort of compare numbers, and they had 12 pressures. So Brady was only under pressure 23% of the time.
Why did it feel like so much more? It's so true.
It's because,
it felt like so much more.
It's because and some of it, like, The person that allowed the most pressure in that game for the Patriots was Tom Brady. He three times, sack, hurry, knockdown. He could have gotten rid of the ball, could have done something different. He didn't, brought it on himself. So it was easy. If you take Brady out, it's even less. But I think it's just, Brady was trying to make something happen. He was flinching at the first sight of maybe there was pressure.
Was he ever?
It just, it was a bad day all around for everybody.
He was wigged out. He was, totally.
Were there places for him to go with the ball if he wanted to?
Yes, multiple times. I just thought, in general, Brady did not play well. I mean, but this wasn't anything new. It was just sort of amplified in this game. We talked about it the week before from the Packers game where I said, I questioned why they had to run the trick plays.
Have you demanded an apology from the people of Boston?
I have not.
Because they're all into the apologies now.
I'll do it for you.
They're all into the apologies.
I want an apology!
Seriously. You all want apologies when there's critical commentary of the team and they win.
Then we have to apologize.
Yeah, children. So Greg now needs an apology. Because he said rightly that they had to resort to trick plays to move the ball against Green Bay, and it wasn't
or at
a good
least,
sign.
Not trick plays, but because they really only ran one quote unquote trick play. It was more.
They had to scheme it
up.
It
was deceptive plays.
Deception.
There in every football team's practice, or at least in the NFL practices that I've been at, there is a period called the deceptive period, and that's where they work on screens, fakes, reverses,
hurry up,
pass. Nah, I don't know. No, they don't really work more. That's more like 2 minute.
Yeah.
Passes to the quarterback out of the backfield, that sort of thing. That's where they work on that. It's called the deceptive period. And the Patriots had to run, or they ran more than usual against the Packers.
And you felt offensively more of the same?
I just questioned, just like I would if the Patriots ran 45 times for 350 yards, what was it about that team that made them take that approach? Or why did they drop Brady back 60 times in the game, only run it 5 times? What was it about that team? I do it every time. Defense, offense. You ask, because there's always a reason why a coach does what they do in a game. And so that the Patriots ran a different type of offense or slightly different type of offense made me think, okay, what is it? Is it about the Packers or is it about themselves? And I came back to, I think it's about themselves because they don't feel like they can go 12 plays, 80 yards multiple times in a game.
And you saw that yesterday.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was just amplified.
I'm more and more convinced that it's about them and it's not about the opposition. I'm more convinced of that than ever.
Can I read your email, Greg, to us?
Sure.
Okay. He says, when it comes to the Patriots offense, please ignore any talk of blueprint, Vrabel knowing the Patriots, or Titans knowing how to bring pressure. Basically what Greg just said here. This was purely self-inflicted by the Patriots. Outside of Edelman, they all stunk. Multiple plays were there to be made. The big question is why this kind of performance and why now? Something seems amiss with this offense, says Greg, like something is going on behind the scenes. That last line.
Ooh.
Explain what you why you feel something like
that. I'm just trying to figure out why. And it's not just Gronk. It's not just that they missed Shaq Mason. You know, look, they can plug in. How many years have we seen them lose multiple people, left tackles on the offensive line, and they plug somebody in and they do fine? I don't know. Something just seems off about this team.
How about their comportment or body language after the game or the way they answered these questions? Did that sort of strike you in any way?
I know where you're going with this.
No, I'm not going anywhere with it. Well, maybe.
Sitting there listening to Brady after the game, I found it odd the way I figured he would be red ass after the game. That's the way I remember it. Normally when the team has a bad performance, you know, Brady doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to answer that many questions. He just, I don't know, he looked completely comfortable in what he was doing. And I just found that odd. I mean, I don't know what's going on, but something is amiss with this team. You see a lot of frustration after plays, outward displays by everybody. You know, you see it from not only Gordon, but, you know, Edelman looks frustrated. Hogan, the last fourth down play where he was open for a touchdown, Brady doesn't throw it to him. It was about the sixth, eighth, tenth time he was open in the game, and Brady didn't throw it to him. And finally, you can see it on the coach's film. He leaps up in the air, stomps his feet. I talked to him about it after the game. There's something amiss. This wasn't just a bad day for this team. That it happens in November. I still think the potential is there for this team, though. I've been saying it all year, and I think Brady said something similar the other day. They are capable of much more. They haven't come close to playing their best football on offense the entire year. Can they get there? I don't know. That's going to be the big question down the stretch.
Because the defense is sort of status quo. It's meh. It's another mediocre defense in a league of mediocre defenses. So I think the defensive story is exactly the same. It's offense. And just in general, you know, as we go back and forth with the baseball people on run differential.
Yeah.
They do it in all the sports, goal differential in hockey, et cetera, point differential, plus minus in basketball. Football has net points as well. Bedard pointed out after this game that the Patriots have 44 net points through 10 games. That's eighth in the league. And most of the teams in front of them have played one less game. So that's not even net points per game. There's been different amounts of games for different teams, so even that could worse if you're a different way. New England, which has finished first in point differential three of the previous four seasons, have finished eighth or worst just four times under Belichick. 2013, where they lost in the AFC title game. 2005, where they lost in the divisional round. 2002, where they didn't even make the playoffs. And 2000, where they didn't make the playoffs. Let me repeat. New England has finished eighth or worst in just four times under Bill Belichick, including 2000 and 02 when they didn't make the playoffs, 05 when they were 2-1 done in the divisional round, and 2013 when they lost in the conference final. The Patriots are on pace for 70 net points. They haven't finished a season under 100 since 05 when they were plus 41. So those numbers say something to you, right, Greg?
Yeah. I mean, they say that this team, at least to this point, has not been very good as far as Patriots teams in the past.
Right, comparing them to themselves.
Right, yeah. I mean, I never compare the Patriots to the rest of the league or the league average because they've never been average.
Yeah, they're always going to be better than
that. Yeah, I mean, I think it's pointless to do that. But to me, that says, and also the road struggles, that there's something wrong with this team. You know, and I don't know if it's talent, chemistry, whatever. I think it's getting to the point and coming out of this bye week because Bill couldn't make a shakeup move at the trade deadline. Maybe because they don't have the talent to trade away or whatever. I think it might be time for him to start getting people's attention by releasing people. I mean, and he could start with guys like, and I don't know if they can do it cap-wise, but Dwayne Allen and Danny Shelton.
You know, Dwayne Danny Allen was Shelton terrible this weekend. Useless.
Shelton actually wasn't that bad in this game.
Someone mentioned Shelton to us the other day, and I went, oh, I forgot about that guy.
Yeah, forgot he's on even on the team.
Like, I never noticed him, but I'm sorry.
I think it's time. It's about that time for Bill to shake things up, to send a message to the room. I don't know what kind of move he could make, but I think in this bye week, looking at this team, something's got to change. And look, I get the whole Josh Gordon thing. I assume what they're doing is they're trying to force feed him to get him to pay off in December and January. I understand that, and I could see that. But at some point, especially now that they've slipped to the number three seed, and it's not like, you know, this isn't like week six and we're talking about there's six games left. You know, I think that it's time to start. I think Bill might want to send a message to the team and shake things up.
They give up a third for Shelton. A third.
Did they really?
A third. They got a fifth back, but who gives a rat's ass? Like, they gave up a third for Danny effing Shelton.
Yeah, they did the same thing for Coney Ealy last year. Seriously, third round picks, who needs them?
I mean, if you were to add up all those picks that they basically have lit on fire over the last couple of years, how many picks would you have in the first three or four rounds of the draft?
Okay, let's discuss with you more with Greg Bedard. 617-779-0985. I think there's one open line right there. Why don't you grab it?
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Everything's different from one year to the next. I think you keep working at it in the same way. Those things haven't changed for me. I'm sure some of my statistics have changed, but you know, I think you got to look at, I feel good out there and I feel like, do I want to play better? I absolutely want to play better. I want to play as best as I possibly can for my team. And that's what my job is to do. And, you know, certainly yesterday was not a great performance. I got to go out there and play my very best these next 6 weeks to give our team the best chance. And that's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to focus on the next 2 weeks. And we got another road test, another opportunity to go up against the Jets, a division rival in 2 weeks. And we got to have our best road game of the year. And that's what I'm expecting from us.
Tom Brady, I'm with Jim Gray last night on Westwood One. It was actually a pretty good Monday Night Football game. I'm sure Jim Murray loved it.
I did. It was actually entertaining.
Yeah, good, bad, primetime football game. Bad, good, primetime football. Whatever. There's Tom Brady. How much of this is on him? We discussed with Greg Bedard. Scott in Bellingham, why don't you lead us off? Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Two quick questions for you. One, if they did release, hypothetically, Shelton, who do they replace him with? Because Rivers has been breasts on a bull. And also, in terms of Greg's comments behind the scenes, is it possible it's something that's going on with Brady? I mean, he's the one who's seeing ghosts, missing open passers, and then Belichick threw Greg's question back in Brady's lap. Is it something that's going on with him? He's distracted, something emotional or something else maybe?
Okay, how much of this is Brady? And I'm, you know, never mind off the field, but just in terms of the poor offensive play.
Well, I said last week it was some of it, but I couldn't tell how much is just what's surrounding him, dealing with the personnel. Maybe Edelman's on 100%. You have Gordon that they're trying to force feed, and he's not.
Gronkowski's out.
He's not running away from anybody. Gronk's not out there. you know, certainly this past weekend, it was the most on Brady it's been all season. But you know, he hasn't been that far away. I mean, you know, he's had some mechanical issues, footwork stuff, that he's been dealing with. I don't know if he's working through whatever it is. I don't want to reveal too much because there's something I'm working on related to this. You know,
and where can we get this reveal?
Well, whenever I
you post it on Boston Sports Journal.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen soon?
I don't know.
You're working on something.
Some things are in the works. Yeah. But anyways,
is it juicy?
No, it's not that big a deal. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
Settle down.
Did you start talking about arm slots?
No.
Just go.
But anyways, he's obviously a little bit off, but I also think that, you know, this personnel stuff, they're having a tough time matching what they like to do offensively with their personnel. And they've been working through that all season. Usually they know by now, like Brady said, I think in that same interview, he said something like they don't know, you know, what their bread and butter is, something to that effect. Or they don't know what their identity is. It's true. I mean, they're already through 10 games, and they don't know what their identity is on offense. I mean, they don't really run the ball that well. They're not throwing it that well. They don't have Gronkowski. So what exactly can they hang their hat on? I think that's been an issue for them, and it's tough to operate as an offense like that.
Here's what you wrote after the game. Brady has played nowhere near his MVP level of a year ago. He's feeling pressure when it's not there. He's not seeing the field and open receivers like he normally does, and he's flat missing on more throws than normal, often due to poor footwork. Like Brady said before the season, this team needs a great quarterback. To this point, Brady has not been great. I sort of like reading your stuff and putting my tone on it better than like you hearing you saying it.
I mean, there's no question to me. I didn't go back and do it the way Greg did, but I went back and looked at a lot of those plays again, those bad throws. He's turning away a lot. I mean, he was turning away a lot.
It was worse in this game than
I know we touched on this yesterday, and it was worse in this game. But see, when I see that, because I don't think Brady's a wuss. I don't know how you could argue that he is at this stage of his career.
Unless
he's got to be hurt. There's got to be something there.
I don't know. He's definitely not a wuss, but wait a minute. You at some point you absorb as many hits as you want to absorb, and the wife's in your ear about your concussions, and you're thinking about your future as a human being, not a football player, and you hit 40, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, do I really want to stand here and take all that? When the guy isn't open anyway, and we're losing, so I'm going to unload this ball. I absolutely positively saw that with Brett Favre as his career went on. He used to take every shot and just, you know, lay himself out there. And at the end, he played like such a Sally, such a phony, I thought. Just bailing out of the pocket and bailing out of throws and bailing out of contact. And you know, part of you couldn't blame him. By the time that he'd gotten to 40, gotten the crap kicked out of him, he had multiple painkiller addictions. It's like as sooner or later you say, you know, I don't need to take every shot. And I wonder if Brady's hitting that spot.
But we need to make sure that most of this is not on Brady. Like you look at, you know, the end of the end of the first drive, Gordon drops a pass. I mean, it's a first down.
Yep.
They had third and long, and Brady hangs in the pocket and delivers a rifle down the middle to Gordon for the first down. They go down. Then they get to third down again. Gordon drops it. The next drive, James White doesn't square up on picking up the blitz, and the guy gets in on Brady and sacks him. You know, then the next drive, the third and four that ended it, that's where you could make an issue where you're looking at it, and the cornerback's 10 yards off to Gordon to the right. And normally Brady would just take the snap, fire it, slant, first down. You know, he didn't do that. So it's every drive, it's somebody different. This was an execution from like week three or four, like the Lions game. That it's happening in November, I don't know what to make of it.
Jay in the car, go ahead.
Hey, just want to comment on where he just left off when it was third and four, and he missed on Gordon. But in the series after that, it was like third and 17. He hit Dwayne Allen for like 6 yards to put the kicker in field goal range, and they opted out. I just thought if they flipped those two series around, it would have been a different outcome. I'll hang up and let you guys talk about that.
Okay, well, Jay's comment line said the play calling was bad. Your thoughts on the play calling?
I didn't have a problem with any play calling. I thought the game was definitely there for them to win. Like it was 17-10 there for a while.
Two
defense got a couple stops.
They had two possessions down 17-10. Two possessions. Gostkowski missed a field goal on one of them, and then they came. I can't remember what happened with the other, but they had two possessions where they were only down 7 points.
Yeah, it was there for them. Gostkowski missed a field goal. The game was there for them to score, get the ball back to start the second half. They score again. Like, it was, like, it looks terrible, the end result, but really this game to me came down to 10 minutes, and the Patriots just, they failed to execute in those 10 minutes, and that determined the rest of the game. And so that's why I say, they're not all that far away, but they're failing in November. It makes you question it.
Ryan in Boston, your thoughts?
Listen, Brady is not processing the field. It's literally a 1 second issue, and when he's not processing the field, his mechanics are all coming apart. Watch his feet. Watch his feet on the throws. If his feet have never been like that,
you're not wrong.
In his career, he has always stepped into the throws. And I think it's age, and I think it's 1 second. The problem is 1 second. That's
Ryan,
what it is in the NFL.
Good call. I don't think it's age. I don't think he's done. I'm not playing.
No. When you see him step into a throw over the middle, there was a throw a couple weeks ago, which was like a 20-yard out, and whoever the announcer was, maybe it was Collinsworth, somebody remarked about how much heat there was on the ball. And he's right. I mean, when Brady steps into his throw, he could snap it off like he always has. But for some reason, his footwork has gotten, and I don't know if it's sloppy or it's intentional for some other reason, but it's a little bit off, and that's throwing off the passing game. Not saying he's the reason, because there are a lot of issues, but that's one of the issues.
Maz, I want you to answer this one, because I know you looked at film and put it up on our Facebook post. Ed in Milford, go.
Hey, guys. Two observations and a quick question. Did you notice Brady did not have any interceptions? Is that because he couldn't find anybody, or was he eating dirt too much? The second observation, Gostkowski, he's always good for missing a field goal. That right-angle hook shot, you just can't take it away. My question is, why would they design a play for Tom Brady, who is not known as a running quarterback? He looked like a lumberjack running out of the woods with Sasquatch chasing.
Okay, well, let me take that one. The play was there.
I actually like that play call.
The play was fine. I mean,
it should have been a first down. They should have converted.
It's a sign that your offense is in trouble when you got to call those things because you can't win on third down. So that's back to Greg's original point. But the play was there. I don't care if Brady's 80 years old and a walker. All he had to do was walk, keep his feet. That's on Brady. That's not on the play call. If you're asking him to outrun some safety to the corner, then fine. That's the play call. There was no more than 10 yards of him when he caught the ball. Just keep your feet, you oaf. His comment line said Brady had no one to throw to. There was no one open. Did you see that when you saw those clips?
Well, so the one that Greg talked about yesterday was the 4th and 6th play to Edelman over the middle of the field that Hogan ran a double move on Butler and was open on that play. We looked at the video yesterday. It looked like Hogan was a couple of steps beyond Butler. Greg, is that what you saw?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw it. I saw it live. I saw Hogan's reaction. I asked him about it after the game, and then it's confirmed on film. Plus, he has, I think it's also White and Dorsett on the other side. Now, I understand going to Edelman in that spot. The game's on the line. You go to Edelman, you know, whatever. But I just don't, I don't understand. I think it's getting to the point where, and maybe the bye week will give them a chance to recalibrate. Maybe they need to make Josh Gordon more of a, you know, a home run hitter. And they need to, you know, get Dorsett, get Hogan on the field, get whatever they need to do to patch up this Brady-Hogan thing, whatever is going on, they need to do it. Or else I don't, and I asked this question to Hogan. I said, look, you know, just watching as a fan, I said, sometimes I wonder what the point is of you even being on the field because you're not getting the ball. And he just said, well, I'm just going to keep doing what
Kind of a leading divisive kind of question there, Greg. Good
well,
job.
I mean,
no, congratulations. I liked it.
I mean, it's true. I mean, I think he had the second amount of snaps in this game, like 54.
Is that right?
Yes. What is the point of him on the field for 54 snaps?
So I'm telling you, I've never been a big Philip Dorsett guy, but I'd rather see them work in Dorsett than either Hogan or Gordon.
Hogan had 54 snaps. Gordon had 55.
One target.
And those are both, but those are both vertical guys. Dorsett is a more of a little route runner, shiftier, like more of Brady's kind of guy, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd like to see him work him in more. Here's Murray's update. We do 3 up, 3 down right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, it's time for 3 up.
He throws it left. Borglak, he makes the catch over two defenders.
And 3 down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3 up.
Launch downfield, throw into the end zone. With Smith there, a row as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
3 down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, studs and duds, stars, goats, a lot of those when the Patriots lost Sunday in Tennessee. Here we go. We've looked at the film, compiled the charts. Bedard does not have his clipboard today, which is disappointing. But I know you've looked at the film. So what does it show? Who's your number one star for the Patriots?
Julian Edelman. He was the only guy to play basically a flawless game.
This was a tough task this week to come up with three guys who did things well. Edelman was the easy one. I mean, so I had him number one, too. He was easy. Everyone else, tough.
Number two.
Abstain.
What? We don't allow that.
Oh, yeah! Attaboy, Greg!
Nope. I don't have any more. Just Edelman.
Everyone else sucked.
Really?
Oh, yep. I love it.
How about Joe Cardona?
No.
No fat guys?
No.
Come on.
No.
That'd be one fat person who did something.
You're telling me Joe Tooney had a bad game?
Did Flowers
Tooney would be the only guy.
Oh, see, I knew it! You love Tooney.
So you're not even giving a second and third star.
Flowers had some edge issues. No, I'm not.
I love
just
it.
Edelman.
Okay, what'd you do, Maz?
I went Van Noy. I actually thought Van Noy was half decent in this game. I say half decent. I didn't say good. He's one of the few like players on the team I didn't hold in complete disdain.
By the way, you know how many pressures the Patriots had in this game defensively?
The first play, if you count that, then there was a big third down pickup where he stepped up and beat Gilmore. So I'm going to go with two.
Three.
Thank you.
Three in the game. Wow. 10% pressure.
I just mentioned two of them. Like two of them, because I can't, those are the only ones I can remember.
The other one was on a punt.
Van Noy, I'll give him an up, just a Felger up, because we've had a back and forth with Van Noy. I heard he did a really great thing off the field this week. He was adopted, I believe, and he has his big charitable endeavor is kids who've been adopted and, you know, helping those kids. And he took a whole bunch of them to the movies yesterday at Legacy Place, and so Van Noy is in his charitable work and off the field, outside of the locker room, feels like a decent dude, or at least that's a good story he deserves credit for. So there's a little Felger up for you, just in the interest of fairness.
That's a nice story, actually. I acknowledge that.
Okay, who's your third up there, Maz, quickly?
You didn't have a second.
No,
James Devlin, because again, he didn't screw up as far as I could tell.
Very good. Okay, 3 down. Let's get to the good stuff. Who's your number one dud?
Stephon Gilmore. He just... I don't know. It was like he wanted to. They wanted to impersonate Malcolm Butler from last season. That's what he looked like. He looked, you know, he was undisciplined in a lot of what he was doing, unfocused. I don't know. I guess he likes those primetime games.
See, I hate it when Greg and I agree. I had Gilmore first, also for the. There's someone else that I considered seriously for this role, which we'll get to in a minute. But in the case of Gilmore, he's got one guy to focus on, one. That's the job. One guy, and he couldn't do it.
I mean, some of the stuff that he allowed was in zone coverage, but still, he wasn't even good in that.
Second dud,
Tom Brady. I mean, just it was not good from him overall. And you know, he needs to be better. He could have been better in this game. I don't know why he's not seeing the field like he has in the past. But there's something going on, and they need to really use this bye week to recalibrate him. Because I think if he is MVP Tom Brady down the stretch, the final six games in the playoffs, then this team has a real chance to do damage in the postseason. But basically, Brady's going to have to play at an MVP level, I think, for them to do that.
I also had Brady second, and I considered him first. I thought he was absolute garbage in this game. Garbage. And honestly, to the point where something's wrong with him. He's not right. I don't care what anybody says. There's something wrong there. And if it's not injury of some sort, then that's even scarier.
Okay, so the only play that I'd say that I felt he might be injured was he threw it to Gordon was on the back end of the end zone in double coverage, and Brady threw it at the 1 yard line or just
on the goal line. At the 2.5.
It was about 10 yards short.
So about that play, first of all, okay, I didn't love that play because Gordon was really the only receiver. I hate those type of routes, but the Patriots run those occasionally.
Wait a minute. We've been over this a million times, Greg. We don't call plays designed for one receiver unless it's a screen.
Correct. But anyways, it sure looked to me because Gordon just basically...
You'd have to ask Tom. Yeah, you'd have to ask Tom.
Yeah, thank you.
A go down the seam. And so I asked somebody who knows. I said, was Gordon supposed to cross the face of that safety? And he said, yes. And then I think Brady just realized he just wanted to throw it short just so it didn't get picked off because he pointed. At one point, he pointed to the right for Gordon to go to the right, and he didn't. I think he lost his footing a little bit. He threw flat-footed, but I think he just wanted to avoid the interception.
I want to get back to this play later so we don't chew up all the time now.
Okay, thank you.
I want to get back to that play.
Third dud.
Patrick Chung. I think he's a little bit hurt. He was really slow in that touchdown coming across. And then he missed two big tackles. I mean, there was a – if he would have made this tackle on a 3rd and 14, it would have been 3rd and 6, 3rd and 8. Instead, it was 3rd and 2. The Titans convert. They score a touchdown. I mean, it was that kind of day for the Patriots.
And he gave up that 29-yarder to the tight end when he had him in his arms, remember? Like, it was so rare for him to miss tackle. I had Chung third. You peeked at my notes, didn't
cheated.
You?
No.
Cheater. You did. You Never. Did, too. Cheated. I left the studio to go
it's
record
on
something. My,
cheating.
It's on the site.
You did. You cheated. You cheated. Mike and I left the room, and you did. You peered at my nose,
Greg,
you weasel.
If there's anything we won't stand for here in New England when we follow the Patriots is cheating.
Exactly.
We don't accept cheating. Long commercial-free segment is next, I promise. Back to your phones.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Left foot forward for Brady. Waits on the snap, and he takes it. A give to White. He starts to his left, flips it to Edelman, who throws it right for Brady. Makes the catch, stumbles at the 40, and he dives close to the first down marker with Woodyard covering up for Tennessee. And Tom Brady makes the catch on the reverse. And then the wide receiver pass, but he stumbled toward the first down marker, unable to get there.
Hey, at least he caught it this time.
Titans take over on downs from their 42. A handoff to Lewis. It's a reverse pass as he gave it up to Jennings, who threw it left-handed to Mariota, and he runs it across the 30, the 40-yard line of the Patriots, tackled at the 38.
Wow!
As the Titans gave the Pats a taste of their own doing,
dialing
up the same play the Patriots ran with Tom Brady on the previous series.
It's a great call, and Vrabel taking it to him here, getting out played, getting out coached.
Out everything today.
Before you pulled that plug, you had a double reverse pass. What goes through your mind when that play comes?
Well, I wanted to see if it looked any better than there, so.
And did Marcus catch it better than Tom did?
He got up quicker than Tom did. I know that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I was fish out of water.
Greg Bedard in our Tom Fertitta studio is here. I just want your reaction to that sequence and Vrabel after the game, and Vrabel in general in this game. It felt like a signature moment.
I thought it was hilarious being there in the stadium because you knew Vrabel, that was on purpose. He was like, let's run ours just after Tom stumbled, and he just wanted to, you know, he's just like you said, you know, just Vrabel busting balls. That's just who he is. I mean, I thought it was good fun. I bet you Belichick and Brady viewed it that way. I thought it was good stuff.
I mean, Brady looked like a complete clown on that play, for crying out loud. Seriously, stay on your feet, would you?
What's he mean, fish out of water? They ran that play in the Super Bowl. It was in the game plan.
I hope
they sure they repped it at some point.
I hope he's talking about himself.
Yeah, just flopping all over
that
the place.
I was so clumsy on that. I look like a fish out of water.
Oh, okay.
That's what I hope.
That would make sense.
That's what I think he meant.
Well, it has to be. It was executed perfectly. It was timed out perfectly. Again, it's a statement that they had to go to that because they couldn't win on third down. So they had to go to that. But be that as it may, it worked. It was his fault. He couldn't keep his feet. And I think that's what he was alluding to. Maz, you wanted to follow up quickly on that throw in deep that was 10 yards shallow in the end zone?
Yeah, so the one you were talking about earlier. Again, I watched that play. I must have watched it 10 times. Brady threw the ball from from the Tennessee 45, and the ball landed at the 2.5. So, like, initially, I looked at that play, and I went, that's as far as he can get it? That's it? So that one made me think there's got to be something wrong with the guy. Then as I kept watching it, do you remember where Gordon ended up on that play?
Yeah, underneath the goalpost.
On the back line.
Yeah.
He's out of bounds.
Yeah.
In a pile with the defender
with two
back
guys,
there.
Yeah.
So I'm watching that going, I don't think it's designed for him to go there.
No.
Like, so at what point did Josh Gordon just decide that he was finally going to stop running when he was out of the end zone?
Can I just say this? It's just too much Josh Gordon. It's just, they treat him like a possession receiver, and he's not a possession receiver. Not now, anyway. I don't know. Maybe he might have been in Cleveland. I don't know. But 12 targets, the same amount to him as Julian Edelman, who is your drive starter, your third down guy, and your feet, you're going 12 times to Josh Gordon. And how many of those were high percentage plays? That one, my God. Yeah, enough with the Josh Gordon.
Too much. Yeah, too much. And again, I still think there's something wrong with Brady. The ball didn't have much on it, really. Relatively speaking, I'm not telling you he was Peyton Manning at the end, because he wasn't that. But relative to what he usually is, the ball didn't have anything on it. But my question with Gordon is, where was he going?
Where were you going? Yes.
Was he running out of the stadium? Where are you going?
Well, he did.
Once you get to the end zone, dude, you kind of have to stop. Like, you can't just keep going and end up on the back line in a pile.
He did.
Well, what are you doing?
He put his hand up earlier in the route because he thought he was open. And he wasn't wrong. It's just that
stop!
He's supposed to cross the face of the deep safety. And he just didn't.
So you
that.
Run out of the end zone? Like, what genius does that? I've never seen that.
Too much Josh Gordon. Back to your phones, as promised. Matt in Boston, what do you got for us, Matt?
Well, before I ask my question, I had the exact same three downs as Greg and Maz did, so great minds think alike.
There it is.
There you go, Matt.
Yeah. Greg, simple question, and then I'll hang up because I don't want to take up all your time. How much do we blame Brady's self-inflicted wounds and struggles on the fact that this season he decided to basically skip every organized team activity this season after he so much preached to all of us how important it is?
Great question, Matt.
It's a great question, but I think it's an unanswerable question. I mean,
well, we all have our opinions.
Yes, I know you do.
Can I just say, I don't think it's singularly the OTAs. I think it's the whole.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. I mean, unless we have a full accounting of, I just want to know. Tom, did you put in as much work? Did you see Tom House? Did you do all that stuff the same as you did before last season? If he did, then this is just something else and it has nothing to do with the offseason. I just don't know the answer to that question.
To me, well, but my opinion is it does. And it's the overall picture. He admitted he did things differently. He spent more time with the family. So if you're spending more time with the family, you're spending less time at work. Something's got to give. So the amount of time that he invested into it is what gave. I mean, he's telling us that. He's admitted to it. So he's not there at passing camp, the only quarterback in the league not to do it. That, I think, contributes to a slow start at camp where he gets a bad back or a bad elbow, something in the first couple of days of throwing, where he has to basically shut it down for about a week and a half. Then Bill, again, is treating his training camps, like Greg has been talking about the last couple of years, like Club Med, where he really sort of goes slow. And you sort of add that all together, you got a 41-year-old guy putting in less work, less rigorous training camps and off seasons. What do you think it's going to look like? Never mind Gronkowski being hurt and Edelman being suspended. Like, you wrap it all together and there's your answer. But Brady missing in the offseason is a piece to it. And I ain't ever going to change my mind on that.
And when you go back to it too, like, what a horrible message too. Like, really? Like, after 31 all that?
31 of 32 quarterbacks showed up for passing camp, except for this one. Who missed? Is it that dirtbag Roethlisberger? No. Is it that phony Favre? No. Is it Philip Rivers, who decides to live 250 miles from where he trains every day? No. It's this guy. No, I mean, you are never going to convince me that that was good and that helped him.
Boy, if you're Belichick, you're looking at it going, you got to be kidding me. So now I got a quarterback that won't come to passing camp, but I got a tight end that's threatening retirement. The two best players on the team. Like, the more you look back at that, you think, again, it's hard to blame Bill for some of this.
Here's Justin in Worcester. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to get you guys' opinion that does this show that Gronk is the real MVP of this team, seeing as every time he's out, our offense struggles, and I don't think we've ever won a championship without him being on the roster.
That's not true. You've won a Super Bowl without him. So that's not true. But
they did have Bennett.
Okay. However, Greg.
Yep.
Was this game about Gronkowski not being on the field?
No. No.
At all?
Not in my mind. I mean, look, seen this offense enough without Rob Gronkowski over the years. They can function fine. If they have the right players, if Brady feels comfortable with what's around him. I mean, you think if they had Danny Amendola and, you know, who else are they missing from last year?
Cooks,
you know, Deion Lewis. Do you think they have that kind of performance on Sunday?
I think Amendola helps Brady.
Yes.
I also think this team this year needs Gronk more. This was sort of my point when Volan wrote that thing last week in the Globe about, you know, that Rob Gronkowski is a luxury, not a necessity. Not on this team, he isn't. On this team is a necessity. Brady doesn't believe in these other guys. Like, to me, that's sort of the message I take out of that game on Sunday. As I look at it and says, Brady doesn't believe in them.
I think that's the theme offensively for the whole season. I mean, yes, Brady has had issues, but I think it all goes back to trust, comfort level with what's around him. You may point to the passing camps, but, you know, a lot of guys weren't there. Like, you know, like Gordon wasn't there. I think that's what it is. And I think they've gotten to this point talent-wise where they need a great quarterback and they need a great tight end. And they don't have either right now. And they're scuffling a bit. Can both of them get there? That might tell the tale on whether this team can win a Super Bowl or not.
We continue with Greg Bedard and your thoughts on Sunday's loss in Tennessee and the overall state of the team. We also have 10 questions coming up next hour as well. But right now, an update with Murray, the latest on Tuukka Rask. No commercials, and we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.